Prayer is good. That's what I said. So can you imagine if you couldn't turn to God in prayer? It's something we take for granted, I think, if you've had a relationship with God for some time, that you can turn to him in thick and thin. Now, if life's hard, how do you get to be at this in your senior years where you're still feeling alive, where you're feeling like, I want this wholehearted approach to life? Because we talked about, you can be overcome with grief. Your body, something goes wrong in your health. I want you to just think about someone in your life, maybe in your workplace. What are the senior-aged people in your workplace, or maybe in your family? What's their attitude in approaching life? Is there anyone in your workplace or somewhere in your circle or in just a previous circle where you really looked up to how they wholeheartedly gave their life to God or to others? I just want to invite you to turn to the person next to you. Take a minute. Reflect on that. Think about someone who you admire and how they approach their years. Go ahead.
All right, I'll pull us in here. Anybody want to share about someone that they respect and admire? I got a microphone here, just briefly. Got a volunteer to share about the person that they talked about. So this wholehearted devotion to God got expressed in just even in senior years, I'm making it to go gather with the church, whatever it takes. For me, I was thinking of a retired pastor in Langley. He was over 70, and I was just like, how is he so just on the go? And he was retired, but then he was chair of the board. And he, just as a young pastor, he just invested in me. But he also just had this heart that extended in remarkable ways. He knew about what was going on in all the churches in BC. And then across the country, and as he had served, he had this wholehearted devotion that expressed itself in this huge capacity of care. Christine and I just watched a movie recently called The Intern. It's on Netflix. It's starring Robert De Niro and Anne Hathaway. So Robert De Niro is a widower, and he's retired. And he finds himself, he's got all this time, and he doesn't know what to do, and he applies for this senior's internship at this dot-com startup made of a bunch of 20-year-olds in this clothing industry, and he takes on the challenge at the bottom of the food chain to go in and be an intern. And it's kind of like this adopt-a-senior piece, and they don't speak the same languages. And yet, in his lowly position, he has this courage to there's this scene, he goes up to his computer his first day at the desk, he just stares at this screen, and then the guy beside him who's in his 20s just like taps the space bar to turn on his computer to model. That's what you do, just turn it on. And then he goes into email and Facebook, and over this time he takes on these new challenges. And as he's taking on these new challenges for him, he has this wealth of life experience that ends up being very transformational in the company. Though he doesn't have the position, it's his character that actually transforms the people around him. You may not connect with all the values in it, but there's some really rich pieces about what a life of character and his wholehearted devotion in serving that company did. Hello over there. Hi. that's good. So this morning we are looking into the scriptures. We're looking at Joshua 14, and we're looking at a senior aged man and his wholehearted devotion to God. Caleb is his name. And Caleb, let's say, just to summarize the heart of him, Caleb models for us a wholehearted devotion by relying on God and finishing strong. And this is what we want to reflect on this morning. A life of wholehearted devotion by relying on God and finishing strong. So thinking about Caleb, Here is a guy whose family has been in slavery. He's had to deal with not getting to choose what he does for a living. His family was enslaved. And then they had to go through this real huge transition, and they saw God at work in all these amazing ways. And then it came to trusting in him as trusting in God as they go and spy out the promised land, this new land that they've been given. And his community of faith lets him down. And he does the right thing, but he's forced to deal with the consequences of how his church didn't do the right thing, and it let him down, and he had to deal with that. And then, in that situation, not only that, but they wanted to kill him for his faith in God, for trusting in God and saying, I'm with God, this is what we need to do. And then it comes to this point, we come into Joshua 14, and we encounter him at age 85. Let's look at what's in his heart at age 85. Verse 6, so a delegation from the tribe of Judah led by Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. This is another people group as far as I can see. There's the Kenizzites. So he is actually married in to the people of Judah. So he came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40, remember? We were sent to Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned, gave an honest report, but my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. This is the theme in this section. I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day, Moses promised me, the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Now, as you can see, the Lord's kept me alive. So he's talking to Joshua, the Lord's kept me alive, as well as he promised for all these 45 years since Moses made that promise. Even while Israel wandered in the wilderness, you remember that story? Only Caleb and Joshua were the ones who got to go into the promised land because of their faith. Everybody else died in the wilderness because they failed the faith test, and their kids got to go in. Remember what happened? So Caleb was reminding them, and he says, this is incredible. Verse 11, I'm as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. Don't you just want to, like, see him? What did he look like at 85? Was he kind of jacked up at 85? Or was he just like, I can take him? I don't care what you say. You know, like, what was he like? I have no idea. It doesn't quite got the context here. But you get the heart, don't you? So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. These guys were known as being giants, the Anakites. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said. So Joshua blesses Caleb, and he gives him Hebron to him as his portion of land. Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb, it says at this time, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. You sense in this theme, he wholeheartedly followed God in his devotion. So what do we learn from this? Well, first of all, we're in our second last week of our Joshua Moving Forward series. It's been this wonderful movement and all these different lessons that we receive for our own lives and for us as a church. It's wonderful that in this National Day of Prayer, we are doing our third and last church vision meeting after the service today. And if you're new here, if this is your first Sunday, or you've been here over 100 Sundays, we want to invite you to stay for lunch, whether you brought lunch or not. We got lunch, we got salads, we got desserts, and we're going to get here in round tables. We're going to look at our church vision statement as we have crafted it to adopt it as a new statement, saying this is where we are going. So we're excited you're here, And I think there's some inspiration for us on this vision day from Caleb. So this is our second last week. So we've been going kind of chapter by chapter each week. And then you'll notice we went from Joshua 10 to Joshua 14. Well, the first half of the book is kind of the taking of the land, the campaigns. And the second half of the book, Joshua 13 and following, is about the proportioning, the dividing of the lands. And it's really actually the living out of going all the way back to Genesis and Jacob blessing his sons and his descendants. And it all starts to play out years, hundreds of years in the future. Can we bring up that slide of the dividing it up? The next slide. There we go. So there's this dividing it up. So there's the different colors to recognize the different tribes relating to the sons of Jacob. So you'll see Judah down at the bottom. That's the green color, and Hebron. Let's bring up the next slide. So Hebron, you'll see right at the top, at the center, and then Debir. These are the two places that Caleb is talking about reconquering. So they've come in, they've conquered the land, but then there's this sense of it isn't fully done yet. There's a lot of work to do. There's the descendants of Anak that have kind of retaken Hebron. And he's like, I'm going to go and get it back. So it's quite ambitious. It is super ambitious. And it has everything to do with his wholehearted devotion to God and his relying on him and finishing strong. So let's reflect on the first component of this, of relying on God. Let's go to the next slide, the first lesson, looking at Caleb. He was not afraid to go against the crowd. Remember that when he was spying out the land? There was two guys who said, we should do this. And like a million people almost who were just like, no, it's too scary. We can't do this. You have to be somebody who's really relying on God to go against the crowd, to be have the kind of courage to stand out and be different. To me, that is something that's really birthed in prayer. There's some personalities that are better at it than others, but we're all called to be strong and courageous. This is the theme in this whole book. Be strong and courageous. Joshua exemplifies it. Caleb exemplifies it. And the church, the people of God, are to exemplify it. Let's look at the next lesson. He placed his faith in God and fought his giants. It is remarkable because of all the people, these guys were the toughest group. This Hebron and its fortitude, it had the high walls, it had the giants. This is going to be like the toughest of places to conquer. And actually, there's these legends. It says, going to Joshua 15, verse 14, Caleb drove out the three groups of Anakites, the descendants of Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the sons of Anak. These guys are legendary. We get that we in our culture have really heard the legend of Goliath. Well, these three guys had their own legends at that time. So he, at 85, is, I'm going to take my group and we're going to go take this territory. He placed his faith in God and he was able to fight his giants. We reflected on this back looking at David and Goliath right before fall started. But where's your vision? Is your vision on your giants? Or is your vision on your gigantic, amazing God? Because if the vision is on the giants, if you're focused on your obstacles, life gets really hard and overwhelming. If your eyes are focused on this incredible God of who he is and what he does in our lives, then there ain't nothing that can stop us. If God is pleased with me, if the Lord is with me, I will drive these giants out. Is that your approach in life? Are you a person who's defined by faith or by fear? Yeah, it's always good to second check, to think well through challenges, through making steps, through big decisions. And to do that doesn't mean you can't just say, hey, if the Lord is with me, if I'm sensing God is calling me to this, then I will do it. I'm going to fight these giants. I will go in faith. Let's look at other lessons from Caleb relating to relying on God. Next slide. He took on bold new endeavors for God right into his senior years. That's so inspiring. I was visiting the Young at Heart Bible study. I love that term for our seniors ministry, young at heart. Doesn't that get at who Caleb is? Young at heart. In our culture, we were reflecting at Bible study this week. In our culture, retirement is kind of like a series of cruises and vacations and pulling out of life, going, I did it, I just can't wait to get out. And yet, it was amazing just sitting in amongst the seniors who shared some pain of some of the greatest challenges that they've dealt with in life, and they were significant. And yet, they were there looking to grow. And it actually amazed me because I asked them, okay, I'm here. They said, you're a little young for this group. And I said, thank you. I thought I got the hairstyle for it, but they still could weed me out. And I asked them, what's the advice you'd give to me or to generations that follow you? What advice would you give us for living wholehearted devotion with wholehearted devotion to God? It actually amazed me. The first thing that came out of someone's lips was, we've got a lot we can learn from the younger generations. That just spoke of humility. It spoke of a life of ongoing learning. It spoke a life of respecting others. That floored me. I loved another thing that someone said of just, this book, build your life on this book. This is a strong foundation. Don't you think that they would have seen a lot of friends and who didn't live by this book, who didn't have a strong foundation? It was quite amazing. And that's the kind of person I want to be. That's kind of why we reflected a little bit. Who's someone you aspire to be who's in there living in their senior years? We talked about grandma and how she made sure she was with the church to go praise God and model a life of faith. I asked the seniors, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they liked that because no one there was 85. And so what do you want to be? What kind of person do you want to be when you grow up? When you're Caleb's age, are you going to be that person that no matter what the situation, you're still willing to live a life of devotion to God, relying on him and finishing strong? Our life groups this week are reflecting on this question. And then the next questions are, what are you going to do in the next 12 months that's going to help you move towards becoming that person? And then the wonderful experience of community, and this is why we meet in groups, is also how, as a life group, can we help each other live into the people God's calling us to be? Let's look at the next point. Looking at Caleb's life of relying on God, his vision involved both looking back and looking forward. There's this whole piece, remember what God has done. Hey, remember, and he's bringing that before Joshua. We miss out huge if we're only about looking forward and moving forward. We're not going to learn the lessons from the past. And then what's that expression? You're doomed to repeat history? If you don't remember it, I botched it. Those who fail to remember history repeat it. So we want to be people who can look back. But Caleb also shows us that you need to look forward at the same time. Some of us, as we go through life, we get stuck looking back. And if you can only look back, you can't move forward. Have you encountered people like that? Have you been in those situations? Sometimes, especially when we're in a lot of pain, it's next to impossible to look ahead. Because your life is just absorbed with the pain, the anxiousness, the grief. And you need to be able to process the emotions that are stirred in order to walk through them. And this is part of prayer. This is part of Christian community. God calls us to look forward and to move forward. And it's exciting how we're doing that as a church. You hold tradition and new endeavors together in both hands. Let's look at reflecting on finishing strong. Next slide. So Caleb used his resources to his best. So this is the next chapter. There's this little small segment on Caleb, and it says he drove out the Anakites, the descendants of the giants we talked about, and he goes to fight the next city in the town of Debir. We looked at that on the map. And he says, okay, I'm going to give my daughter in marriage to the one who attacks and captures this city. And we go, what? How dare you? But actually, in that culture, they made the decisions for their kids. And actually, this was one of the best possible things he could have done for his daughter. Find her a strong man who will provide for their family and to come. So the best of the best rise up, Othniel. And he takes out this city and he's faithful. And Caleb, like, he marries off his daughter to an awesome guy, and he conquers the city and lives out his promises. This is killing two birds with one stone, people. This is smart thinking. He's like, okay, so he uses his resources his best, to his best. And Othniel, we actually read, I'd never made this connection before. Othniel, Judges chapter 3, he's the first judge of Israel. So not only, well, let's before I get into that, let's look at the next point here. He was thinking about the next generation. Okay, we're going to the same place. So he's, in providing for his daughter, he's thinking about the next generation. In calling Othniel to his best, he's raising up the next generation with some leadership tasks. He's not trying to do it all himself in this situation. That's something I really appreciated about that retired pastor I was telling you about. He just believed in me. And though I'm sure there was things he must have shaken his head about, there's so many ways where he just kept believing in me, providing opportunities for me, calling me to be all of who God would call me to be. Let's look at the next one. Okay, he didn't keep things for himself, but lived generously as well. This is a challenge, especially in our years where we're not making money. You're going into retirement. It's interesting. Oh, we just had this conversation before we started here about, do I have enough, you know, to make it through these years? You can't tell what's coming. Yeah, Caleb here, he responds to the request of his daughter. She says, can you give me this? Give me another gift. Verse 19, you've already given me the land in the Negev. Now, please give me these springs of waters too. So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs. A life of generosity is a part of how he models finishing strong. Let's look at the next slide. Caleb didn't stop until the work was done. We're seeing that. Let's look at the next one. He sacrificed comfort and money to follow through on God's commands. This is where the rubber hits the road. It's very interesting looking at Joshua 17, 13, and 18, 3. There's this whole parceling of the land. 18, 3 says, how long are you going to wait before taking possession of the remaining land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given you? Get to it. Why don't you do it? So, and then chapter 17, verse 13, later, however, when the Israelites became strong enough, they forced the Canaanites to work as slaves, but they didn't drive them out of the land. This is what they were called to do, because these people were going to lead them astray. They're also ancient enemies. You can read that in Exodus. The citizens of Amalek, which we find here, the Amalekites, They are, there's this kind of peace where there's never going to be peace between us. They're ancient foes. They were supposed to drive these people out. What happened was they put them to a life of servitude, and it made their life a lot easier. They got tribute. They could put their feet up some. They weren't diligent in the work that God commanded them to do, and it created more comfort, more money. How challenging is it to take on new endeavors? Well, I'm comfortable here, right? I just want to put my feet up. I've done enough. And yet, for Caleb, he models finishing strong. Let's look at the next slide. What's this mean for me? So, you know the different spots you're in where, whether it's a giant you're facing or a situation where you're challenged to give up, you're challenged to just kind of put in a mediocre effort. It's just the day-to-day of what's it look to live with wholehearted service in the work that you do, in loving the family that you have. There's a lot of ways where we are tempted to not finish strong, especially looking at our senior years. There's many who've given up faith, many who've given up hope, many who've not finished strong. So here's this encouragement for us to finish strong. Let's look at what's this mean for us. So as a church, like we said, we're in this visioning piece. Let's bring up the next slide of our vision statement. Okay, first there we go. This is where we as a church, we've aspired, we've thought together, and we came up with this vision statement at our last meeting, and we voted on this one, and this one raised above the rest, and then our staff and our elders and our vision team have all been wrestling with this. And here's where we're at. We're so close, and today we're going to just wrestle the last fine-tuning in our meeting, going, is there anything here we want to change? Any kind of slight wording tweaks? And then next week, we're going to adopt the statement. It's going to be part of our vision for where we are going in the years to come. This is what we're going to shoot for, part of just like that person you thought of who you want to embody. This is the church that we want to embody. We seek to follow Christ as a unified, spirit-filled body of believers, passionate about sharing God's love while living out our faith. We will disciple and equip each other for ministry inside and outside the church. We will invest our gifts, talents, and resources to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to bring a spiritual transformation to Quesnel, the Caribou, and our world. Lord willing, this is what we are shooting for. Let's go back one slide to the D.L. Moody quote. I love this quote. I shared it in my candidating sermon here. And we dreamed about what if. The quote is, the world has yet to see what God will do with a man fully consecrated to him. We have a story we've looked at this morning, Caleb, an example of faith. He embodies a life of being fully consecrated to him. We only saw a little portions of Caleb's life. Then we said as a church, way back in August of 2016, we said, what if we as a church together were fully consecrated to God? We were willing to lay down our sin and just go all in. Part of that is dealing with the sin in our life. Part of that is just saying, I'm in. Let's go for new endeavors. We're going to be working it out.